It's a weekend edition of the Big Red Louie podcast. I'm your host, Jacob Lane, joined tonight by Alex Stengel once again. How you doing, man?
Hey, happy Friday, Jacob. What's up?
Did you know that it was Friday when you woke up today? Because I keep seeing more than anything people talking about how they don't know what day of the week it is, and I can relate to that. But did you know today was Friday?
Yeah, actually, I've been keeping pretty decent a pretty decent schedule of the week so far, mainly just because I started that new job. So when you start a new job, you're still nervous as shit like the first 90 days minimum, just because you're lost, learning stuff, meeting people, trying to get the ropes. So yeah, like I had a couple meetings and calls and stuff I knew like were happening late morning, so at least I could grab a couple cups of coffee and mute my dog snoring behind me during video calls. But yeah, that's literally the only reason, because if I didn't have a job right now, which I'm very grateful I do, but if I didn't, then yeah, I like my fiance right now, she has no idea what day of the week it is. Like, doesn't even care. Right. Like that's the whole thing. She's like, she's like, I might sleep in, I might not. She's like, don't wake me up either way. It's okay. So yeah.
I've got like one responsibility that not one responsibility, but on Fridays, there's one thing that I do every single week. So that's how the last at least 2 or 3 weeks I've been distinguishing the end of the week, because it's like, oh, I have, you know, it's instinct to do this responsibility and get this done. So it's like, it just feels like Friday because of that.
Yeah, that makes sense. But here's the other thing I thought about as well was, like, what's the incentive for the weekends now? Because, I mean, it's like, for me, it's like, all right, cool, we stay at home again and maybe do a little bit different things than I did during the week. But I mean, like, meals don't change, like the entertainment's not going to change, surroundings definitely aren't going to change.
The big thing for me that changes is with having a little one is I don't have to sit in front of my computer all day. Whereas, like, you know, if I didn't have a kid here on the weekend, you know, it would be no different. I'd just be sitting around, lounging around the house. But during the week, you know, we have to keep our daughter distracted with things all day long because we've got to continue to work and get things done. So on the weekends she has full attention of ours, which to her is fantastic. So I want to talk about something work related that, and sports related, actually. It's kind of an interesting topic. I don't know if you've seen this in the news the last couple of days, Alex, but I don't know if you have familiarity with Zoom. Do you guys use Zoom at your employer or for anything that you do?
So we actually have our own platform, not to brag, but we also we're a big Microsoft Teams we're trying to get immersed in that right now, just because we're about to start selling that here soon. So since I'm in that space, I know exactly where you're going with this, and I'm really, really interested to talk about it, especially from the latest instance, because this is like a wave of happenings, right? This is not just a one-off instance.
Right. With everybody going home and going into work virtually, Zoom is a platform that does video conferencing that allows a lot of people to get into one call. And you've seen it going viral the last couple of weeks of these big work calls and people just nonstop talking about Zoom. Well, it comes to find out that it's not the safest technology, and people are being able to hack into calls. And the FBI was warning people, hey, you know, if you're talking about top trade secrets, this might not be the best place to do it. And I don't know if you knew this, but the NFL draft is moving completely virtual this year, obviously, with everything going on with the coronavirus. So the biggest platform apparently with the NFL is Zoom, and there are organizations who are generally worried, one of them being the Green Bay Packers, that their draft boards and their draft rooms are not safe because of people wanting to hack and steal secrets.
Oh, yeah. I mean, one, I honestly think the hackers are just stretching their legs with the conference calls of businesses right now, just prepping to try to break in to the NFL draft. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but here's the thing. I'm already nervous when it comes to the draft, one, because I already love the teams I love and how they pick, which I am super pumped, by the way, for, I think, Chris Ballard and the Colts. Like, I am super happy he's my GM. I watched a little snippet of him today, and it just made me want to run through a wall.
Can I ask you a question? I want to ask you a question real quick. Don't want to spend a lot of time on this. Does he not have eyebrows?
No, I think it was the video. Of him today. I think it was the video quality, and he's kind of a – he's got super thin blonde hair.
Okay.
So I think it was the two things. Just a video call, like, I think if he was on TV doing this, he would have hair and eyebrows.
Okay, makes sense. All right. All right, continue on. Sorry.
No, but anyways, so I get nervous about that just because, you know, you want your team to pick the best players. I'm nervous about where my college team, anybody, you know, on good years, we have a couple guys. Some years we have none. This year we're really pumped because we might have a top five, top 10 pick in Mekhi Becton. So I'm nervous about that. But now I'm like terrified and excited about just like the chances and opportunity to watch this unfold, because I'm pretty sure we might be lining up to just like live stream a train wreck. And
oh, it's gonna
and I'm terrified,
be a train
but I'm
wreck.
So excited.
Absolutely.
Like it's, I don't see any good way. Like I don't see any for me how this is gonna go down. And the best part is, I don't know who tweeted it, and I can't remember, but some guy did a side by side comparison, and one was the GM of the, I think it was of the Chargers, whatever their GM's name is, and he had like eight different laptops, eight different screens around him, like charts, analysis, topics, dudes. Like you could tell guy was in the zone. He was watching film with that little hand thing that the coaches always have to, you know, talk. The clicker to toggle back and forth and speed it up and all that. Then they showed a pic of Dave Gettleman, and he had one 10-inch like Microsoft Surface in front of him and like one 1950s just like thick as shit, like 5-inch deep binder. And like that was it. And maybe like a little notepad in front of him. And so they're like, well, all the GMs are prepping in their own ways. And I'm like, oh man, this is going to be great. Like I know like Gettleman probably doesn't make all the decisions because, you know, he's just mainly the face of that. But no, either way, it was great to see everybody's different setup, because that's essentially what has to happen, because people are thinking, you know, you can't get like an entire coaching staff to huddle up in one guy's basement, right? Like you can't do, it's not going to be like a fantasy football draft where all your buddies can come over and like sit in a room and pick it out. Like every single different coach is on the staff. So you're going to have what, like 30 dudes just on like on one team.
Yeah. Well, a single call. Right. So it's a hotbed for somebody who wants to hack and get information, but like who really is going to do that? Do you really think that there's,
who's really going to do that? Might. Are you kidding me?
The Patriots
like
might.
Who? So the actual, all right, you didn't finish the complete story because you didn't tell anybody who actually got hacked. Like the best part of the story, was the fact that it was an Indiana election commission. So our neighbors up north, a guy hacked it. They call it like Zoom bombing or something, but he basically broke into this Indiana like election commission call and put on like a not safe for work, you know, Pornhub video and basically.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
And
we're going there.
Yeah,
okay.
We are. And no, I feel like that's safe to say. Like that just says the name of. But so you exactly know like,
oh, for
what
sure.
you're going to get
no,
with
no,
that.
No,
but basically, it was a man doing things you shouldn't be doing in front of a camera by himself for a whole minute. The best part is the IT guy couldn't get it down from the call for an entire minute. So 60 seconds of this. While you got probably like all these like middle to older age people on this election committee talking about God knows what, like boring, you know, election options that they're probably looking at. And they just, and the quotes of this whole thing, I'm going to wrap it up. But one of the chairman of the whole commission guy, I love this part. That was sufficiently disturbing, said Paul Oakenson of Election Commission of Indiana. And the other one, here's the best part. Another viewer proclaimed, that was the most exciting election commission meeting ever. So some people might have actually liked it. You know, not everybody thought it significantly disturbing. So, you know, who knows? One man's trash, another man's treasure. But either way, so Zoom is very, like people don't know what to do with it because every company is still basically using it. And it's the most popular like video chat on the market right now, but it's getting hacked left and right. Like important things are getting hacked left and right. So,
all
right.
So if you could hijack into one NFL draft room, is it the Colts?
Probably not. I mean, like theirs is pretty straightforward. So like in terms of excitement, I don't think you're going to see a ton, because they don't need we're getting a couple more defensive guys, I think, and strengthening up that side. So that's not like a huge surprise. I would either do New York, just literally for the Gettleman factor, just to see, okay, just to watch that shit show unfold. What pick? What? Like, what do you want me to? Him? Or who'd you say? I gotta call it in right now. I'm going to miss it. What if we miss it? What happens if we miss it?
Can you guys hear me? Is the mic? Guys, can you guys help me get this figured out? Is the mic on? Can you guys hear me?
I saw one tape of this man, fell in full bloom love. I'm going to go in with it. I'm putting all you guys on mute. Can't hear you. The pick's done. Here we go. I can just see him going off like that.
You're going to the Giants.
I'm going Giants or Ravens, because I want to see what kind of weapon they try to come up with Lamar for. That would be my two picks.
So I would probably go – I think I would go to Miami, just because I think that the Dolphins are going to find a way to mess up, assuming that Tua Tagovailoa falls that far. I feel like they just are going to – they're one of those teams that always finds a way to just do the wrong thing. And I totally see them botching whatever that situation is, whether it's trading up, trading down, not picking him, whatever it is. They're gonna mess it up, and to be inside of a draft room and just watch that unfold would be pure entertainment for me, even though it would suck for Devontae Parker.
Right.
But anyway, let's talk some Louisville sports. That's what you came here for. Not a whole lot new since the last time we talked, since we just did this on Tuesday night, but a couple of things that I think are worth talking about. One of them being Chris Mack meeting with the local media yesterday via Zoom conference, looking as pleased as ever. I mean, I don't know if you have noticed this about Chris Mack, but he does not particularly look happy when he meets with local media.
True.
Which, I mean, that's a whole lot of fun to walk into a room of those particular people who cover sports, and I don't know. I'm sure that room is not the most fun to be around those people.
He doesn't shy away from he wears it pretty well, before the press conferences. You know what you're about to get.
Yeah. So anyways, he spoke with the media and
I don't know why I just added talked that. About that was so I was like, you know what you're about to get right there, you know.
Yeah.
He gets angry.
He talked with the media and just kind of spoke about the additions of Charles Mendland and Carlique Jones and what, you know, what's been going on the last few weeks with Louisville basketball and what recruiting is like and how everything has kind of unfolded. And you know, I don't think there's anything in there groundbreaking. Obviously, he told a story about how Dino Gaudio was able to use some connections to get in touch with Mendland and how quickly that kind of happened. And then I really thought it was cool how Mack acknowledged that he was one of the guys that got it wrong with Carlique Jones. Talked about being an underrated recruit coming out of Cincinnati, which is where Chris Mack spent, 8 years, 10 years. And you know, he flat out said, I was a coach that overlooked him, and now, I'm glad to have him on my team. But the one thing that really stood out to me in this was Sam Williamson. And I thought that, it was saying a lot without saying a lot, if that makes any sense. I don't know if that even is a saying or not. I might have just made that up. But
keep going.
You know, I think that basically we've known that Sam Williamson, this is going to be his team, right? Even with Jay Scrub coming in, you knew that Sam Williamson was the McDonald's All-American who was going to develop into being the star. And I think that it's often overstated that was kind of the thought, but with Jay Scrub, everything kind of overlooked that. And yesterday, Chris Mack talked about how Sam Williamson is going to be the guy for them. He's going to be the guy that makes this go, makes the engine go. And I don't know, what do you think? Is that something that you kind of have thought of? Is that the storyline of, Sam Williamson has to be Donovan Mitchell in year two, or has to be, X caliber player for Louisville to go this far? Was there anything that kind of stood out when Chris Mack talked about that?
Well, yeah, because I think there's a reason that he's honing in on Sam and not the fact that we're talking about David Johnson as well, because there's a lot more guys that are the exact same age as Sam Williamson on this team. But we kind of already know what we have in David Johnson, right? Which is a stellar, the makings of just a stellar point guard. And we know he's already halfway there in terms of his progression. I don't think we're going to see him after this season by any means. But with Sam, you didn't get that this year. You saw flashes of that, right? There were some games me and you were sitting there in the stands and he would come out of nowhere and just slam a putback. Just those hustle plays that turned into really good highlights for him. And especially you mentioned the other night to me, you were dude, we're what do we think of Sam the first the first 40 minutes we saw him. Like the first game Louisville played last season against Miami.
He's gone. Yeah, he's gone. He's not going to be here but 1 year. We're losing him. He's
right, like we were convinced from that night forward. We're like, oh my God, this team instantly, I thought, I was like, yeah, Final Four. Like if that kid is going to play like that, you know, even somewhat consistently, then we have a shot. But here's the thing, like he started, like I don't know if you want to call it like a traditional regression really, but I mean, you know, I think something, you know, started hitting his confidence. Maybe it was like his shots weren't falling or something, but like something started chipping away at his confidence to where, you know, that kind of affected his defensive side too. Cause I think he was struggling with that. Like, you know, from that was always going to be a get better, you know, over time thing. But that started slipping when his offense started slipping. So, you know, he kind of just didn't really go anywhere and got stagnant. And we didn't really see a whole lot from him the second half of the season. I mean, like I said, he had moments that were awesome, but I mean, we couldn't rely on him to be that consistent guard. So that's
right. It was almost like, you know, Louisville, I mean, obviously they needed what he provided, but with Jordan Wara and Dwayne Sutton and then the guards that they had, you didn't need Sam Williamson to be special.
Right, and I think
we all,
yeah, and I think that played
we
into
all thought
it.
He was going to be. Right. Right.
So I think the support around him definitely played into it. The fact that I think the pressure definitely wasn't on him to blossom in year one, even though, you know, everyone was kind of hoping that would happen. But, you know, the minutes weren't there for him, you know, sometimes last year. So I think you don't necessarily lump him into the category with, you know, like Aiden and Jalen and the rest of the, you know, the Super Six in terms of, they just need more minutes to, you know, to get more experience and work out the kinks. I think for Sam, it's mental as well, because like he played enough last year to where like he's up to speed, I think, in terms of, you know, like what you're going to see in D1. You know, like he played well enough last year in moments. But I mean, like, I think he got enough time overall. Like, he knows he has to make the jump. Mac knows he has to make the jump. So I think that's why he has the most pressure on him, I think, to make that progression, because DJ's already showed it and somewhat consistently showed it and Sam hadn't.
Right. But the thing that's really cool to think about is if you go back to when, you know, Sam Williamson committed and you started to hear about the hype around him and you really started to learn about what he is. He's so unique in the fact that he's 6'7" small forward who is really long, can shoot the ball. Like, I mean, just he's got a beautiful shot. And, you know, last season fans didn't get to see that to the level that they thought they would. The average fan might say, well, he's not as good as we thought he was going to be. Well, no, he didn't get a chance with minutes. And I think this season, the minutes, obviously, he's going to get plenty of them. But he is going to be able to provide to Louisville something we haven't really seen.
Right.
You know, having somebody who's 6'7" and can shoot the ball like that gives you a big lineup, small lineup, whatever the case is. Like, they can do a lot of unique things with him in the lineup. And I think that, you know, Chris Mack acknowledging this is our guy, he's going to be the one that jumps from his freshman to sophomore season. We're really excited about him. I thought it just kind of, you know, at least for me, it just kind of reaffirmed that we're going to be okay without Jay Scrubb. Like, we're going to be okay.
Well, and that's why, you know, I don't know how, if it came out weird, you know, the other day when I was like, you know, Louisville's, I didn't want to sound like Petrino where I'm like, offense is going to be better without Lamar this year. Trust me. Like, yeah, like, it's not going to be like that. But at the fact that, you know, I don't think Louisville's going to drop off that much from a Jay Scrubb going to the league and us picking up who we picked up. I do think it was a great fit at the right time, because he wasn't, you know, like, we weren't even on his radar and vice versa. So, I mean, yeah, the fact that he was available when he was available in terms of Charles Mindlin Jr., I think the attitude and the effort and toughness and the grit that Chris Mack wants to be the team's MO, Mainland's going to bring that. Like, that's going to be his makeup. Like, I make up for that as opposed to Jay Scrubb's, like, total athleticism, which at times is, yeah, don't get me wrong. Like, I would love to have that on a court in a Louisville jersey, but I just don't think it was going to happen. Cause I mean, we even said it from the get go from early on, like it had a little bit of like Sebastian Telfair vibes. Did it not?
I mean, this has happened to Louisville obviously before with a JUCO player with Donta Smith back in 2004.
So, I mean, yeah, I mean, literally
had,
the same situation.
It had Rajon Rondo. Yeah, I think we all were like, okay, we've seen this before. Right. We've seen this. We've seen it with Rajon Rondo. It was a little bit different circumstance. We saw it with Amir Johnson. We saw it with Donta Smith. Like, there's been all kinds of players that have done this to Louisville. But you're right. I mean, I think that maybe Louisville will be better off in terms of team because you get more pieces to kind of fit the puzzle rather than having one player that you're really kind of expecting to do everything. But, you know, whatever they do, Sam Williamson, they're going to go as he goes. I mean, I think that we talked about that last week. He's kind of the driver of the train here, considering that he's got to be their best player next season, at least in my opinion. Maybe David Johnson could be up there, but I think he's the guy that has to lead them. And Chris Mack acknowledged he's their star. He's their guy.
Yeah, because, and that's the thing, because Aiden's going to make that jump too, but in a totally different way, right? Because Aiden's just got to just get on the court first and foremost for longer than 3 minutes, you know, at a time without committing like 4 fouls in that time period. Like, he just needs experience on the court, period. Sam, like I said, like, Sam has that court experience. He needs to make that jump to where, like, all right, the game's slowed down enough for me. Like, I think I could be, you know, that guy a lot more often than I was last year.
Yeah. And talk about Aiden. Chris Mack was asked about that last scholarship that they have, and, you know, we've thought for a few weeks now that it's going to be a front court player that they add to the roster to kind of help Aiden in his development. And Chris Mack said, you know, yeah, you know, we think that we might have a need. We think that we might need this, but, you know, we feel pretty comfortable with where our roster is at, which should give fans a lot of reassurance that, okay, Aiden, the first year, just kind of throw it away. Injured behind two really good centers, not quite ready for the college game. His body obviously was, but his game wasn't. I think in year two, you look at the minutes that he's going to get, and I think that, you know, we're overlooking how good he's going to be. We talked about Josh Nickleberry and overlooking right. him. I think we've overlooked how good Aiden can be, and Chris Mack is just kind of reading between the lines here of saying, or if you read between the lines of what he's saying, is like, we'll go get a player if it makes sense, but Aiden as our backup, we're good. Like, we're going to be fine.
Yeah, exactly. Like, so I like the fact that he's not just going to just throw a scholarship at somebody for the sake of throwing a scholarship at somebody. I do like the fact that,
right, exactly.
that he announced that part. Like, hey, we're not that desperate to where, like, all right, we weren't even going to look at this guy. And
I think he called it a warm – he says a warm body. We don't need a warm body. Like, you know.
So I do appreciate that fact. And I think Aiden appreciates that fact too. You know, like, I think Mac – has set him down and talked to him enough to where, like, he understands, hey, even if we do find, you know, additional help for your position, like, you're gonna have to be the second dude, you know, like that other guy only is gonna be there because, you know, Malik might be injured or sore, or you might be injured or sore, so it just helps to have you know, another guy. But yeah, Aiden, I don't think the expectation has dropped off regardless if we get another big or not.
Right, and as far as the scholarship thing goes, I think that it's interesting that the front court seems to be the area that they're talking about, where I think it makes more sense personally to hold that scholarship and see if there's a sit-out transfer that you can put on your bench and sit out this last year where the transfer rule isn't in effect yet, where players are immediately are eligible after one-time transfer. You get a guy that you can sit out next season who can become a big part of your team the next year, where you're going to lose Malik Williams. You're probably going to lose Sam Williamson. You're probably going to lose David Johnson. Obviously, you're going to lose your senior graduate transfers. Get a guy who can come in and you don't have to worry about next season when maybe there's more FBI things kind of hanging over the program, more NCAA stuff. Maybe it's harder next year to get players recruiting-wise. Why not get somebody this season that you can get into the fold like they did with Stephen Enoch, Dwayne Sutton in the past? I think that makes much more sense than adding a big guy when you've got a big guy.
Yeah.
You've got Aiden. I think, you know, we saw last year it's not ideal, but you can go small and play a guy like Quinn at the five because you have Sam Williamson, who's 6'7". So I think that's interesting. But the next thing I want to talk about recruiting-wise, which that's going to be the heavy focus, obviously, right now. It's kind of all that's going on. But I thought that earlier today in the Big Red Louie Rider group chat that you guys had a really interesting conversation going on about recruiting, which has been the number one topic amongst, you know, all of us. And one of the questions that you guys asked was, is recruiting at the high school level, not talking about graduate transfers, but just recruiting high schoolers, has the momentum for Louisville kind of slowed down? Because 2019, you get 6 players who are 4 or 5-star caliber guys, the super 6, that, you know, they're all the hype. Every question you had about recruiting goes out the window. Right. And then 2020 happens and miss after miss after miss. And now the class of 2021, you know, looks like it's got the potential to be a really good class, but you know, are we headed towards that same path that we went down last year and we saw the guys just continue to commit somewhere else? In your opinion, what is going on with recruiting in basketball with Chris Mack and Louisville?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a healthy amount of questions. You know, the fact that you just mentioned, you know, the whiff after whiff after whiff. I think we did talk about that in length over summer in terms of just the fact that Mack is still learning how, you know, he's still learning how to be a coach at like an elite level school. I think the fact that like, and that take, you know, that might take a season or two, like, hey, to squeeze out every little bit of leverage you have in terms of facilities and prestige of conference and all that stuff. Like, you have everything at a bigger, better scale than you did at Xavier. So that's why, you know, in my opinion, he's still learning at the same time. So, like, I think he wanted to go after the top dudes and just see, you know, like, hey, like, I'm Chris Mack at Louisville now. Like, you know, let's try this out. And then, yeah, I mean, I think he kind of, you know, he learned. I think he learned from that experience, is what I'm saying. And
definitely. And it'll be real humbling. Yeah. Really quick, when you go from landing whoever you want and kind of the guys that they put their target on very early to then landing no one. I mean, think about who they bring in the class. It's DeAndre Davis and JJ Traynor, who I think are going to be really good players, but they weren't even on the radar like at this time last year. We didn't even know who they were. You know, maybe JJ Traynor because he's local and his dad played for Louisville, but
it's also supposed to be like that wasn't supposed to be the to your point. Like, I'm excited for JJ, but also like, he wasn't going to be on the team if Mack would have gotten the guys he would have gotten. Like, even half the guys he would have tried to get, really.
So, does it, in college basketball recruiting, does it hurt your brand and your program when you go through a full recruiting cycle and you get nationally, you see guys who, I don't want to say you thought were trending towards Louisville or the national consensus was they were trending towards Louisville, but a recruit sees Louisville being told no and no and no and no and no, and then they see the freshmen on the floor for Louisville like Sam Williamson, Aiden Agahan, not really playing at a high level. Does that make them then – is that kind of what we're seeing, the effects now of these guys being like, it doesn't look what I thought it was going to look like. Your freshmen really aren't playing a whole lot. Maybe I'll go to a bigger name school, or maybe I'll go to another school that has more minutes and I don't have to worry about that.
It's a weird thing, right? Because I really think it depends on the kind of kid you're going after, because if you're talking about the elite of the elite kids, I mean, you're talking about going to Duke, UK, and what, like, I mean, Kansas doesn't even have that many one and done. So you're talking about the
right.
The tournament.
It's really North Carolina, Duke. Yeah, and Kentucky, I mean, like, but they're kind of the big three.
Between those three of you know, because they'll always have minutes available because they're always churning at such a rate. It's
a revolving,
especially
door.
This year with Kentucky. I mean, literally every single dude left.
What?
And they're still projected
that?
Like
one player.
And
back.
They're still projected like sixth next year. Like, it just
Louisville brings back six sophomores and they're not in the top 25. Yeah, but Kentucky's got a brand new team.
Yeah, reload. But
I wouldn't want to be John Calipari right now, man. There's not enough players to fill a roster.
Well,
not
and that's what I mean, because anybody that even has like have a brain and follows basketball, like Obi Toppin's brother going to UK, like they announced that like
who?
UK fans should be excited, right. and then they look at, like, that's the whole thing. Like, I didn't hear a peep from my UK fans or from my UK friends, because literally, like, you look up the first couple things on that kid is what, like, no, what was it, no Power Five offers, like or there's like a couple things, like
average 5 points
literally
a game,
average like. 5 points a game at an average, you know, not that crazy conference school like Rhode Island.
I saw a Kentucky fan making the argument that with the way that college basketball is heading, with, you know, the G League coming in and stealing top players, Kentucky now has to start getting these middle to bottom tier guys who just might happen to be diamonds in the rough. Like, woe is me. We got to start adding these players that aren't five stars.
And Louisville's are over here like, no, sir, that's our bread and butter. Like, we're the ones taking those kids and developing.
We would like to get a kid averaging 5 points a game.
And I love the Louisville fans to get pissed hearing that, but I'm like, that's just reality that's around us right now. I mean, that's the thing. You know, people talk about I do think the FBI, you know, notice of allegations still being out there, and that unknown, I think that's still hurting. But I think a lot of kids are kind of like in a wait and see pattern, because it's not crazy that we didn't have a whole lot of minutes available to freshmen last year, from the fact that everyone talked about how diverse our team was, just from seniors to freshmen, you know, to grad transfers. Like, you had it all, and people talked about the mix. So it's not like you had like a ton of minutes from the get go, but at the same time, you know, there was only a couple freshmen that were really good enough to play significant minutes from early in the season. You know, I mean, that's just the truthful part of it. So I think it depends on the situation of the team, but also the kind of kid, because yeah, we were never looking at an elite kid that, you know, like a five, we were never looking at a guy that was going to go to the G League Academy thing anyways. And I do want to talk about that in a minute, because I listened to Bob Vavona's interview with Paul Biacardi, I think is his name, but that was a really good interview about just like breaking down that new academy thing. But no, regardless, I think it's just a multitude of factors. It's a weird time right now. But yeah, I definitely think kids are going to want to see what happens this year. I don't think his offense, you know, I really don't think that was like crazy and left a lot to be desired, because we've seen some Twitter posts even from kids that, you know, kind of made fun of it from the get-go, like, you know, like, what are they doing out there at some points. But yeah, so I think he's got a lot of shit to prove this season in more ways than one. You know, you're talking tournament game, like redemption, recruiting, beating UK. Like, people just want to see the, you know, he's done a lot of things. He really had, like, you look at his track record of highlights so far from being at Louisville, it's impressive. It really, like, you know, like, if you looked at that, you're like, all right, wow. Like, wow, we beat the crap out of UNC at UNC. We beat Duke at Duke. Like, we did all these things.
Right, beat Michigan, Michigan State.
Right, yeah, like, years. You see that on paper. That's super impressive.
But, definitely a lot of good. When it comes to high school recruiting, I think that the last year fans have really soured. And I think we did our best at Big Red Louie to try to kind of temper expectations early, because you take six kids the year before, it's going to be hard. It's going to be really hard to try to level that. Like, they needed another class where they brought in the guys who come in and have really good skill right away and have to develop, which is what they did. They brought in two guys who are going to be really solid role players. And so, yeah, Chris Mack, like you said, I think he swung for the fences. He's like, I'm at Louisville now. It's not Xavier. I can get some of these kids who I wasn't able to get before. And then he learned, wait, this is what it's like to recruit against Coach K. This is what it's like to recruit against John Calipari. And the year before with Sam Williamson's class, they didn't go up against a major Power Five or a major blue blood. They did, and they lost every time.
Right.
Jamie and Brigfield, probably the most hurtful, because it was just like, oh, that was supposed to be our guy, and he commits to Duke is the day he gets a scholarship offer. How are you supposed to beat
that?
You recruit a guy for a year and a half, and then he commits to Duke.
The, like, Devin Askew thing, I mean, like,
yeah, right. I mean, this Christian Lander, the story, I mean, it goes on and on.
Well,
of guys,
the more we
year.
Find That's out about that one on the back end, I'm like, all right, the more I'm kind of like, something happened to where, like, they were feeling each
other.
They loved us, we loved them, and then, like, boom, that was not the case. So it's weird to hear, like, when things like that go down. Like, especially,
let's just call it Chris Mack's year of getting hazed by college basketball coaches. Like, that's what it was. They hazed him into the blue blood. They were going to come in and we're going to steal every player that you thought you had. Like, we weren't even recruiting him, but we just decided today, Chris Mack's recruiting him. He's new. Let's go steal that kid and show
it
him.
It reminds
his balls.
Me of the scene in the Campaign. Have you ever seen The Campaign, first off?
Okay. I have seen
I
the
love
campaign,
that movie.
Yeah.
And the fact that people still haven't seen it, it's a travesty, because, like, it perfectly embodies, like, all things that are just so dumb with, like, just politics in general. Like, just makes fun of it. I love it. Will Ferrell, Zach Galifianakis, great movie. Either way, when Zach Galifianakis is at that luncheon or whatever, and then all of a sudden Will Ferrell just starts posting photos of him, like, at Zumba and Curves and, like, just making fun of him. Zach Galifianakis' name in that movie is Marty. And it's funny as hell because, like,
fantastic.
He's like, why are you so mean to me? And Will Ferrell looks over at him and he's like, welcome to the freaking show. And, like, that's what I feel like kind of happened, to where, like,
It's exactly he was
feeling
what it
good
was.
About the himself, ACC feeling coaches. Good about everything. Like, hey, I'm doing this, and then like, yeah, like you said, all the elite schools and those coaches were like, yep, welcome there.
Yeah, and in 2021, man, they're on a lot of really, really good kids who it's going to be the same deal. And this year, I think he's going to have to land one of those, or else the recruiting questions, as to the extent that some of the fans in Louisville have brought it up to, not a big deal. But when you start talking about not being able to land, you know, for 2 years, 3 years of the players that you want, and then it's kind of more red flaggish, and then you have more concerns that can kind of be brought up. But I think up to this point, he's done the best he can. He's brought a lot of really good players in, and he has hit on every single grad transfer he's landed. Like, you can't ask for anything more. When just 2 years ago, the narrative after the NIT games were, well, it's going to be 4 or 5 years before Louisville basketball is back. And Louisville fans have completely thrown that away because they got to watch a 20-win basketball team 2 years in a row. I mean, you can't beat that, right? That when it gets to that point, you can start asking your coach, hey, why aren't you getting all the 5-stars? We win 20 games a year. Why wouldn't they want to come here? It's got to be on you, right?
Well, yeah, in the fact that, you know, even if he, you know, admits, like, he's not the best recruiter, that's why a coach that's not the best recruiter, like, surrounds yourself with, like, people that fill your weaknesses, right?
Yeah, and you either got to be a great recruiter or a great player developer. We're going to find out which one he is. It's got to be one or the other.
One big thing we're seeing from the football staff, a lot of these younger coaches are really – like, you have to know how to utilize social media in all aspects. Like, you have to know how to connect with these kids in this day and age, which is, like, changing every single month. Like, there's something else for, like, teenagers and stuff to do. Like, whether it's TikTok or some other crap or, like, yeah. Right. So, like, you got to keep up with it, though. And, Coach McKenzie, like, the running backs coach, like, dude, like, he's awesome with it. Like, all the coaches – for football, for the most part, seemed like they do a great job, and basketball does a pretty good job too. But I mean, it takes a certain type of assistant coach to be like a great recruiter in this day and age. And so that's why it's always funny to hear, like, the first thing any message board for Louisville goes to, like, as soon as we miss out on another recruit, it's like, well, bye, Dino. We have to vote. Like, we got to vote a coach off the island and bring in some fresh blood. And no one wants to get rid of Luke Murray because, I mean, one, we touted him as a great recruiter because, like, that's what he was known for before he came to Louisville. And the fact that I just don't want to get rid of Bill Murray. I know he's been a bad luck charm for the most part, but, like,
he has. If you want to go doing some deep diving,
I just
want to.
I want to like
you.
Him.
Bill Murray
and enjoy
has
him
brought
from
bad losses.
I just want to claim him still right, as a fan. That's all.
That's true. I'll give you that. So my wife and I are doing our part tonight with the coronavirus of eating local. So we've got some really good local food here that we're about to eat. And before I do that, I want to finish talking about the G League because I think that's a really big story in college basketball, and we're talking college basketball, so it makes sense to discuss here. But it's also going to have some sort of impact on Louisville. Without going into 5 minutes of it, tell me just really high level about Bob Valvano and Paul Mincardi.
Yeah, so in the writer group we had, like, we were chatting the other day, and we were just throwing around all these questions we had just about the what's his name? Is it Terrence? It's not Terrence Clark, right?
No. Jalen Green. Jalen Green.
Okay. Jalen Green. Whoever accepted the G League money, right? And also
Isaiah Todd, who had decommitted from Michigan, had been committed there, 5-star player. So two guys
now
in the G League.
All the questions that you had first started asking, like, we're getting thrown around, like, all right, how is this, one, going to affect college basketball in general? Two, like, what are the parameters for this thing? Three, like, you know, what's the scope of, like, how deep is the G League going to start penetrating and poaching kids from college basketball? But Paul Biancardi, like, really broke it down in a way that, like, didn't – like, I'm not stressed about it anymore. I'll put it that way. And if you're a Louisville fan, it's literally not going to affect, like, anything we do for the most part. If anything, in my mind, it might help just because, like, a Duke and a UNC aren't going to be able to probably go after, like, that top 5 kid, that top 10 kid anymore. But literally, right. So he explained it. This isn't going to be a typical G League team, right? The G League is forming a development team that they're calling, you know, like, whatever, like G League Academy team or something like that. But it's wild because they basically have, like, full anonymity to to play whoever they want to play on a global scale. So if they want to play like an AAU team, like a 19 under AAU team, they can play that. If they want to play like the Canary Islands team that my brother-in-law used to play for, pro plug, what's up? But yeah, if like they can play whoever they want, it's wild. So like they can schedule their own schedule, like do whatever the hell they want to do, but they get developed like a pro player. So we're talking like training every single day. They got to take the life skill.
And getting paid six figures.
They get paid, especially as a kid, like still.
Yeah.
But then the developmental aspect, so like the life training skills, the financial training, all that stuff that comes when you first get into the NBA. But then on top of that, the last thing the NCAA had that these guys were like, well, I mean, like, you know, they don't have the college experience and like the scholarship and stuff. And then the G League's like, no, we'll add that too whenever you want it. So whenever you want to go back to school, here's an extra $125,000 to get a scholarship.
Yeah, and now it's a test trial. They're going to wait and see what happens with Jalen Green and Isaiah Todd, and there's probably going to be two or three more.
Right,
I wouldn't be surprised if Duke and Kentucky both.
I forgot about that part. So they're going to probably cap it at like 10 to 12 guys, which is why he said like college basketball as a whole is literally not going to be affected to the degree like everybody thinks it will be. And that's why like if you're not like a UK or a Duke or a UNC or like a Kansas, like that gets that one dude. Cause even like UK, they only get like one or two of like the top guys. Right. And so you're talking about removing those guys. And I do think it's an interesting argument to bring up later at a later podcast. DJ talks about it all the time, in our writers group that like, as a whole, I think this just kind of diminishes the college basketball product like a little bit more because like NC, like the ESPNs and all the sports, you know, media of the world, like they're not going to have that solo star to hone in on like they did like a Zion for the whole season. I mean, how much money do you think ESPN made off Zion Williamson in terms of advertising coverage, all that stuff on their like every single day? That's all you saw.
But it'll go back to being the Tyler Hansbrough,
right? Exactly,
the JJ Redick's. Like there'll be the college basketball
like
stars.
Yeah,
like always been.
Like Mac made a good point. Like for every one of like Zion, there's a Luke Garza. You know, like that.
Right. Exactly.
So I do think there's going to be a balance in the. But Louisville teams as a whole, like realistically, we don't get those guys in the first place, so that's not going to matter. Like even Mac's like not going after the. I mean, I guess sometimes he goes after like the top 10 kid, but,
right.
But either way,
when it makes sense,
yeah,
right?
So
they're not building their program
on the fact
five
that,
stars like Kentucky now.
Yeah,
Calipari's got to redo his recruiting model. Like they've got same.
God,
with
he's
K.
got
like,
that lifetime contract,
to the
right?
Board.
But either way, so
and thank God he's got Jacob Toppin, man.
Yeah,
don't forget about Jacob.
Jacob Toppin plus Harms. I mean, like what kind of a mishmash combo is he like going to start creating over there with those dudes and then like a bunch of really good freshmen? Are just going to look so bewildered together. And I think Cal's going to get over probably like on Harm's like 10th hair flip during a game when they're down 10 to when they're down 10 to like an Alabama or something, like something random on any like on like a Tuesday night. And Harm's is just like there just flipping his hair and Cal's just throwing
and
his
by
hand
the end of the week
over.
he comes back with his haircut and Cal Perry denies knowing anything about it. And he hasn't talked to him and he needed a break. But okay, so the last thought on the recruiting and the NBA with the G League program now being announced in Louisville, I think the only way this is going to affect Louisville is when, you know, like we just talked about, Coach K, John Calipari, they're going to have to redo their recruiting, you know, the way that they recruit, and they're going to have to start targeting some of the players who are in that bottom of the first tier, upper second tier of guys, and that's where Louisville is going to have to kind of make their bread and butter is finding those really high and 4 or 5 star guys that they can. Maybe you worry about that, but other than that, like Chris Mack was pretty clear. We're not recruiting these guys. Like this isn't our, that's not our deal.
Right.
We're going to win basketball games a different way.
Well,
it's going to have a lot of unintended consequences though,
yeah.
I think. That'll be the interesting part. How many guys go and absolutely fail? Like,
right.
You know, cause that's going to happen.
Well, and in terms of championship contenders, like to Alan, another BRO writer, like to his point earlier, like that's why Cal's only won one championship. Like in his 10 years, because like teams are built, like championship teams are built different. Like you can't just load up on freshmen every single year. Like, yes, you win a ton of games, but like to win that last game, it takes a little bit more. But either way, we'll wrap up here.
Yeah. All right, man. I'm going to go and destroy some great local food.
Yeah. You got what? Barbecue from Chex? Is that right?
we've got Chex in Middletown, which shout out to Chex in general, but the Chex down by U of L is like my right. all-time favorite spot ever. I tell my wife all the time, if I ever get enough money, I'm
I know where you live, and I always forget about the Middletown one, because I was like, you got Chex out in Germantown? Yeah. I was like, what?
Like, yeah, so they opened one in Middletown last year, and ever since, that's become one of the spots that we frequent. So, all right, man, we'll catch up soon. We appreciate you guys tuning in and listening.
Absolutely.